So far, this Advent season, we've been lighting a candle each week, and each of those candles has represented a different theme that we've talked about. And so the very first week, we talked about finding your hope in Christmas. And the next week, we talked about finding your peace in Christmas. Last week, we talked about finding love in Christmas. And it just seems appropriate to me, especially after that anthem, that our last theme that we'll be exploring today is about finding your joy. Because when we receive hope and peace and love in Jesus Christ, I think it just seems to me that the natural response to that deep down response that we experience is joy, is one of joy. Now, as I have thought about finding your joy in Christmas this past week, it's just become more and more evident to me that the kind of joy that we experience in Jesus Christ is different than the kind of forced cheerfulness and the superficial happiness that I think the world expects us to experience at Christmas. And so what the world expects is that we look like this for an entire month. And when we can't maintain that level of cheerfulness, which is, I think, it's impossible for anybody to maintain, how we actually feel is more like this. Don't you just love that they each have a letter, joy? Don't they look joyous? I love that picture. And it actually reminded me when I saw that, it reminded me of a picture I took of my family years ago when my kids were little. I had this great idea for a Christmas card. And so we all got new Christmas sweaters. This was like in October, so we had plenty of time. And we went out in our backyard in front of this big green evergreen bush. And we sat down, and I put my camera on a tripod, and I used the automatic timer to take our picture. So I would hit the shutter, and then I would run and get in place, and we had like 20 seconds to do that. And of course, at first we couldn't get it together, and so about half the pictures were us trying to get positioned and looking in other directions and everything like that. And in the process of doing that, I noticed that my oldest son kept making a goofy face in like every picture. And so I warned him, and I warned him again. And so I don't know at what point this happened, but I hit the timer, I got into place, we're all smiling, and I look over, and my son's making that goofy face again, and I lost it, and I just lunged at him. So, and that was just at the right at the moment that the picture snapped. So, almost everybody on our list got a picture, a not real nice picture of us in our new Christmas sweaters, smiling at the camera in our backyard. My immediate family and a few close friends got a happy picture of us in our new Christmas sweaters, except I was swinging at my son like this, and he was ducking like that, and everybody else had this really surprised look on their face. So that was a Christmas I'll never forget. But Christmas is supposed to be fun, and it's supposed to be a time of family togetherness and all of that. But speaking as as one who has now celebrated Christmas as a father and as a pastor for many years, I'm beginning to understand why my Uncle Roger, who was also a disciple pastor, he used to go around at Christmas time singing Merry Christmas, almost like it was a dirge, like he was going to a funeral or something. So I understand why we might be feeling a little bit Grinch-like in the Christmas season, because all of this commercialization and all of this pressure that we feel to get it all right and to do it just right every year and to be that happy family, and it just, sometimes I think we lose sight of what Christmas is really all about. We run a real risk of doing that. Kind of like Charlie Brown, and it's a Charlie Brown Christmas. He shouts out to the universe, "Doesn't anybody know what Christmas is about?" And fortunately, he had his friend Linus there that day, and Linus does know. And he says, I know. And it just so happens that Linus, his response corresponds exactly with our scripture reading for today from Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 14, I think, is what that is. So anyway, I'm going to let Linus read our scripture for today.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. lights, please?
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Indeed, that is what Christmas is all about. Linus has got it right. And so the part of the Christmas story that Linus reads there, or recites, is the part where the angel appears to the shepherds who were out watching over their flocks by night. And if you ever get a chance to go to Bethlehem, you'll find out that those hills outside of Bethlehem look almost identical today to when they did 2,000 years ago. There are sheep and there are shepherds out watching over their flocks pretty much year-round over there. And something that's really important to remember is that the job of a shepherd was not a high-class, high-status, high-paying kind of job at all. It was something that young boys and old men did, and guys that just weren't able-bodied enough to do any other kind of work. So it was a really kind of a, like I said, kind of a low-station kind of a job, and yet it was to them that the angels came first and made the announcement. It was to them that it was them that got to go and see the baby Jesus and worship him before anybody else, certainly before any religious leaders. And of course, that's just not how things are done. Religious leaders like me, we're supposed to be the first ones. When that announcement goes out, God's got a baby on the way, we should be the first ones to be invited. But apparently it doesn't work like that, or at least not anymore. And we see that very clearly in Jesus. When Jesus came, the whole world was turned upside down. And it started even before he was born, or at least when he was born. It started then. The world was turned upside down. And Jesus has been turning the world upside down ever since. As we talked about the beginning of Advent, he brings hope to a world that is just oftentimes just feels awfully hopeless. To people who feel like that maybe they ought to just give up and despair. He brings peace to a people who are so familiar with conflict and war. Jesus loved the people that others had said were unlovable, that just didn't deserve love. Is it any wonder then that the kind of joy that Jesus brings to us is not that superficial happiness that the world says we should have? It's a different kind of experience. It's joy in the midst of whatever we might be experiencing. Somebody once compared happiness, kind of the world's version of happiness, to the kind of joy that comes from God. They said, happiness is a checkbook that has money, a car that works, a good date for Saturday night. Happiness is the absence of major hassles or terrorism or crime. Happiness is kids getting good report cards and spouses getting a raise. And we're all about those things. Those things are good. There's no doubt about it. All of those things that are listed are good things. Joy, on the other hand, comes in connection with another or in connection with Jesus. Joy can happen without money or without a working car. Joy happens when we get to the core of life and we realize that love is the foundation of everything, and that God is with us right in the middle of it all. So happiness has to do a lot with circumstances, but joy is a gift from God. This past week at our Dudes in the Diner Bible study, we meet every week at 4th Street Cafe, a small group of us, and we go over the text for the coming Sunday. And this week, after we read the text, I asked the guys if they would share a time when they experienced real joy in their lives. And a lot of them shared, you know, times like when they were married or had a baby. But one of our group, Justin Gardine, one of our newer members, shared a moment that I think is a great illustration of how we can experience joy even in pretty bad circumstances. And the story that he shared was, it was a moment not long after his younger brother was killed in a tragic car accident. And he said there were a lot of people around him at that time, a lot of his friends that were trying to give him things that they thought would help him feel better. But none of that was helping at all. And in the midst of all of that, he said he had this feeling kind of wash over him and God really spoke to him in that moment and let him know that his brother was all right, that his brother was with God, and that he was going to be all right too. And Justin said that he would describe that moment as a moment of joy. Isn't that kind of an odd thing to think that you could have joy in a moment like that? What I have noticed in my life is that the older I get, those moments of joy aren't usually accompanied with laughter and celebration and parties and that kind of thing. More often than not, I know that I am experiencing deep joy when I start to leak. And it's funny because I used to tease my dad about this a lot because he used to tear up at, you know, Hallmark commercials and stuff like that. But whenever he would experience joy, sometimes when he would come and hear me preach, I would see him sitting there crying. And I would tease him about that. Now I'm beginning to experience that. And it sometimes catches me off guard. I got to be careful all the time because it seems like it's always right there. I can remember once I was in the neonatal intensive care unit in a hospital. This has been a number of years ago now. And I was with a family that I'd known for a couple of decades. And I had known the mother of the baby when she was little. And I knew Grandma, too, who was my age. And the baby had been born premature, but he was getting stronger and he was going to get to home pretty soon. And so I gathered them around and I wanted to say a prayer thanking God for giving him some growth and that he was healthy. And I wanted to pray that he would grow as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. And I took their hands and I began to pray. And as soon as I opened up my mouth, all I could do was stand there and cry. And again, it's a little embarrassing when you're the professional, right? And you're supposed to be able to do that. Same thing happened to me at my ordination. There's a time in every ordination service where the person who's being ordained gets to respond to the congregation. And so I stood up and I'm looking out at people I knew, you know, just like people like you, people that had known me from the time I was a little boy. And I opened my mouth, and again, it just started, and it would hardly stop. Again, it wasn't sadness. It was a joy, a super deep kind of joy that is really difficult to describe. It's really kind of hard to put words to it. Sometime this past year, I saw a video of a baby listening to his mother sing. Some of you may have actually seen this. And it really kind of blew my mind because I think I had always assumed that this joy that I'm talking about today is something that's kind of reserved for grown-ups, that little ones just aren't sophisticated enough to think that deeply or to feel that deeply until I saw this video. And so I think this video is just one example that shows that indeed that we are created for joy. So, let you watch.
Mommy's gonna sing you a song. You want mommy to sing a song, honey? Let me know how you feel about the song, okay? I don't want you to come around here no more. I beg you for mercy. You don't know how strong my weakness is or how much it hurts me. 'Cause when you say it's over with her, I want to believe it's true. So I let you in, knowing tomorrow I'm gonna wake up missing you, wake up missing you, when the one you love's in love with someone else. Don't you know it's torture? I mean, it's a living hell. No matter how I try to convince myself, this time I won't lose control. So I let you in, knowing tomorrow I'm gonna wake up missing you, wake up missing you. Oh, you feel the pain in the song, yeah, honey? Big tears. You crying? Oh, you crying, monkey. Okay, mommy's done. Okay, it's just a song. It's just a song.
What that tells me is that we are created for joy. That's what we're created for. And it's true from the time we're just little, we are created for joy. And I want to share with you a poem that I think speaks to those of us who might be struggling, because there's a lot of people that do struggle during the Christmas season in lots of different ways. And this is how it goes. It's Christmas, Lord, the season to be jolly and all of that. But some of us aren't so jolly. It's time for families to be together, to sing "I'll Be Home for Christmas," but Lord, some of our loved ones won't be home this year or ever. And some of us find it very difficult to shop for Aunt Jane and Grandpa. Some of us find our minds so occupied with a desperately ill child or a tired, worn-out body that we can't cope with crowds or carols. And some of us find that happy memories of Christmases past make this Christmas seem hollow, altogether unbearable. It's a temptation, Lord, to just skip it, to refuse to decorate a tree or send a card or purchase a single present. For one alone, such an approach is possible, I suppose. But for little ones in a home, Lord, it's unfair. It takes tremendous strength for some of us to say Merry Christmas this year, more strength than some of us even possess. And that's exactly why you came, isn't it, Lord? Indeed, Jesus did come. For those of us who don't have it all together, for those of us who are sad or alone or afraid at this time of year, the good news of Christmas is that Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us, and that he brings us hope and peace and love and joy. May God bless you with all of those things and more as we welcome once again our Savior, God's only Son, into our lives and into our world. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son and for all that that means, for the joy that we experience in the midst of life, whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in. Be with us then, be our joy as we continue in our worship this day and as we continue in our celebration of your Son's birthday. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.